And there's not going back. Because what God do is permanent. And he is not sorry to change me. And he will never change his mind about it. Because once he do it and once he speaks it, it's done. Amen. So, are you happy tonight?
Amen.
Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Because the song said, this is the moment. And there's no other moment. Tomorrow is not here. And yesterday is gone. This is the moment that you've been waiting for. Did you wait for Wednesday? And when they said, like David, I'm so glad when they said unto me. When you got up this morning, thank you, musician, you were glad that it was Wednesday and you was going to go to church. Amen. You almost sound like you believe it, at least the majority. But by the time we get done, you will believe it all. Amen. So let us get going because I haven't been on the pulpit for a little while, so... And I usually don't keep track, and I don't measure time either because I just don't. You know, when I used to be in college and taking those English classes, and you had to write essays, you know, that's only 3,000 words, you know, or so many, or one page, whatever. And then when you had to speak and you had to give a report, you know, you had to really look at time. You had to keep time, you know, and you can only say so many things, and you have to make sure that you what you want to say, you know, you say it. You know, you cannot be babbling and, you know, talking and joking because there's no time for that. So, but, you know, when you preach, it's a different story. I can have one page and I can take 10 hours. You know, or I can have 10 pages and I just speak 1 hour. I don't know which way it's going to go. The only thing I know so far is, I keep track of pages, but that hasn't worked too good anyway. Like, I know if I stay within 4 or 5 pages, my sermon, that's about 1.5 hours. Less will be less, but I won't promise you that neither because I don't know. That's just my own, you know, way to measure, you know, how many pages. So how many pages I got? About 7. But however, the don't worry, it's about 5 only because the font I had to make it big so you get more pages. So, you see, I get you to believe anything. Okay, let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much. Father, it is so nice and it's so glad to be rejoicing tonight and smiling, Father. You are such a good God, Father. And you bring so much joy and in our life. Father, you heal us, our bodies. You take care of us. You protect us. You provide, Father. You bless us. Oh, God, how cannot we be happy, Father, tonight that we have a Father that cares and loves us so much that he wants the best for his children. Father, we are such a blessed people. I see it chaos. I look at the news, and it's just chaos everywhere. And here we are, safe in your hands, Father. And nothing can touch us unless you allow it for whatever reason. So even that, it is in your plan. You in your control. And we trust you and we continue expecting from you. We know that whatever happens, you're still in control. And Father, thank you tonight for those that have come out to hear your word. Father, help me get out of the way. Use me, Father, as an instrument. Just you play the strings, Father, and you direct everything tonight. So everybody, when they leave here, they can say like those two disciples to a way to Emmaus, Father. Our hearts burn, Father, when he spoke to us. Father, speak to us tonight, and we will be satisfied. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask you all these things. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. Let us read the book of Acts, chapter 11. And I'm going to go to verse 22 and 23 so we can get started. It says the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. We was in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So what was happening is they were having a revival in Antioch. Stephen and some of the ministers has been there preaching the gospel. And they accepted, you know. And there was a revival. People was getting saved, the Gentile. They were having a good time. There was a lot of joy and a lot of rejoicing. So when they heard in Jerusalem that something was going on in that side of town, they wanted to send somebody to investigate. You know, investigate anyway. Go and investigate. Go and see what's going on and bring us a report. So they sent Barnabas. Then in Acts 11:23, this is what he found when he got there. He says, who, when he came, Barnabas, he says, and he has seen the grace of God that was bestowed on them by God. See, by grace, they received salvation. See, and they're being saved. Not only that, but Barnabas said he was glad. They were rejoicing. See, and exhorted them, see, began to encourage them all that with a purpose of heart, see, unwavering heart, they would cleave, stay true and devoted unto the Lord. Amen. Sounds to me like a good revival and a good, I mean, this is some good things that Barnabas found and even told them to continue. But like everything else, like it happened in the book of Acts, you know, they were in one mind, they were in one accord, they were all together, united, and then they came together with a purpose, because Jesus told them, go and wait in that upper room until, they didn't know what the until, but they said, wait, the purpose is God, and you shall receive. Just like these people, they not only got saved, but they received the Holy Ghost by the grace of God and mercy. So they were rejoicing. So here in the upper room, they had a purpose. They all had a purpose in heart to wait. See? Until they will do with power. So, and I think that is sometimes the problem. You know, because we don't know how long. This is our purpose, you know. I'm not what I used to be, but this is what I want to be, you know. But how long is that? But we have a purpose. That's what I want to be. But that's where patience comes in. I'm glad that he spoke about patience, because my title of this sermon was Purpose, Patience, and Character. So I had to cut it off because our brother already preached. I'm glad because I don't have to spend any more time. Did the sermon's going to be short? No. I just took that part out. Purpose requires patience. Requires people to endure. How long? I don't know. The only thing I know, I have a purpose. And I don't care what happened. I don't care if it delays. You know, when you go to the hospital, you have to be patient. Because sometimes they delays. You think you're going to go for a half hour and 3 hours later, you're still there. And then you have to put up with everything else. You know, with the pain, with the suffering, with the trouble. But you don't know when. Because there's some people ahead of you that they're probably worse than you are. And maybe they lack doctors or nurses, whatever it is. But the only thing is that a purpose requires patience. Because we don't know how long. Look at me, how long I've been in this, 73 years. I thought the Lord would surely come when I was a teenager. Well, it didn't work that out. And I don't know how long more. Probably I go through the door of death. I don't know. We don't know. I have no idea how long it's going to take for the Lord. We see the situation out there. Things are shaping real fast. And it seems like it's not too long, but still don't know how long it's going to be. All I'm trying to tell you is that purpose is not temporary. Purpose is forever. Even when we get out of here, we still have to have a purpose. You know? So we have to wait. But we cannot waver. We have to be, you know, steadfast. We have to move forward. We cannot dismay when trouble comes, when situation comes, you know, to our life. We have a purpose, and we're moving towards that purpose. We don't let nothing distract us or stop us, you know. And when you get to that mountain and there's no way to go up or down, you can cross it. You cannot go to the top. You cannot go down. You cannot left or right. You still have a purpose. And God said, you just hold on to that purpose. Hold on to that promise, because I will make a way. When? I don't know. Just hold on to the purpose. It is what you need to hold on to. Why? Because purpose give you direction. Purpose will give you what you have need. Actually, without a purpose, it's just like shooting and not having a target. You don't hit anything. Purpose is like a roadmap, you know. Purpose give you a sense of accomplishment. Without a purpose, young people, you just beginning. So you don't. If I ask you, what is your purpose in life? What do you want to be when you grow up? You probably look at me and say, I don't know. I will say, I know. Because you don't have a purpose yet. So what you need to do is start working on a purpose. Okay, if you change in another 10 years after you figure out what you want to be, what your passion is, what your abilities, you know, all that is mixed up in there, you know. So it doesn't matter if it's a short-term purpose, and then later on you figure out, well, I don't want to be a doctor. That's too hard, and I don't have the brain for it. So, okay, you find another career. By then you probably figured it out. The thing you exercise at least and willing to figure out where you're going. Because that's what a purpose is. So here Barnabas get there and he saw the grace of God. He saw the favor of God and the mercy on these people. Sinners saved by grace. See, and then he was glad. He approved. See, that they were believing the word, the preaching, the gospel. They had received it. See, and they were rejoicing. And God has poured the Holy Ghost in them as well. And he exhorted them to that with purpose of a heart, that with a firm mind, with a fixed set of resolution, that they would make this their set of plan of life. Because that's what a purpose is. See, a purpose is not just something that is here today and go tomorrow. I don't purpose to come to church today and not tomorrow or next week. I purpose to come to church my life. And I'm beyond that. So that's what a purpose is. A purpose is a lifetime commitment to something. I don't care if it's a marriage, whatever it is, you know. But we have purpose. We are not purposeless, you know. We have to have a purpose. And tonight that's what I want to kind of expand a little bit more. Because we need to have a purpose. You know, a purpose is something that when you wake up in the morning, you know what you're going to do. A purpose is something that you just know even when you go to bed. You know if you have accomplished your purpose, or you have at least tried to accomplish your purpose. So what does the term purpose mean? That which a person sets before himself as an object or goal to reach or accomplish. So keep thinking, what do you think you want to accomplish tonight? God already called you, predestined you with a purpose. So we should have the same purpose in one accord. The only reason we got churches and many churches and we present the same message, I don't think we all have the same purpose. Because it's just one purpose. We're going to find out that there's not three or four purposes. It's just God had one purpose in mind. It says, the end or aim accomplishment, the end or aim to which the view of directed is in a plan, is measure, section, design, intention, all that is included in a purpose. But I don't want to go through all that. I just want to talk about purpose. I don't want to try to define what the purpose for you in life. You know, it's hard enough to figure out life. I'm not going to try to tell you what is your purpose in life. But tonight what I want to go in the direction that I want to go is purpose, not for your life, in your life. What is your purpose in your life? Okay. So, purpose, in a short sense, simply means the reason for being. That's all. How short it is. You are here for a reason, for a purpose. And if you know that purpose, there's nothing going to stop you. Because that is what makes you who you are. See, when you get up in the morning, you have a purpose to get up and go to work. I mean, you just don't go to work and because you have to feed a mouth and families and you have to pay house and you have to pay bill. If that was the purpose, I'm already would have quit a long time ago. There's another higher purpose than that. See? When we get up in the morning, see? It's something that drive us to do. That purpose will drive us that day. It says, purpose is your reason for being. It's why you get out of bed in the morning. That's why we got so many homeless. Homeless, what happened is, they don't have any more ambition. They lost it all. They didn't have no more ambition. So they don't, I mean, they get up in the morning and they do the same thing every day that they done the day before. They ain't got no way to, you know, move forward. That's it. End. But we are not that way. The same thing happened in the message. Once you put a period at the end of the sentence, your purpose is done. That's what you're telling me. I'm done. But we're not done yet. Because like I told you, purpose never ends. Homeless people, they are so, you know, that way. And that's life. You know, I don't know why. But the thing is, they don't have anything to get up in the morning. And that's why they go on the corners, same thing, get money. And I'm not criticizing them. I'm just telling you, this is facts, you know. And then they get a drink, a wine, and they want to just kind of get numb their brains. They want to numb themselves so they can go back to sleep and start again the next morning. I know because I used to be there when I used to drink. You're trying to, life is so hard, the responsibilities and the thing that comes, sometimes you don't even want to face them in the morning. I hope there's nobody here that don't like to get up in the morning for that reason. Because I get up in the morning because I have to face challenges. I have to face the devil every day. I don't care. Like Brother JJ was saying, I got up on a Monday and everything went wrong. Right. Nevertheless, he had a purpose anyway. He had a job. He had a purpose to do. He needed to do something and it had to be done. Because if it's not done, then nobody else is going to do it. But he already purposed that morning, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do. I don't care what challenge, I don't care what comes my way. He was already resolution in his mind to do what he's supposed to do. And that takes purpose. Then he went and broke a line. No, knucklehead, you broke that line. Because you don't know that the lines are only about a foot down in the ground. And then that's the specs. Mexico, they put it 10 feet down. You never find the water lines. And they come over here and they're trying to figure out what the line is. It's a foot on the ground. That's the specification. So here we go, huh? Waka! And here comes the water, Moses. No, anyway. But even through all that, he had a purpose. And that was not going to stop him. Figure out how he's going to do it. Call, you know. It cost him some money, but he got it fixed. Even though he got to a point that he said, Lord. But see, as a human being, that's what we do. You know, that's what Job did. I hate myself. I hate the day I was born. I just might as well would have died. You know, that's what we get. Elijah running far away from that Jezebel, same thing. You know? And that's human, that's what we are. We all humans. And we get to a certain point, a certain purpose is such a big thing, you know, we do the best we can, but sometimes we overcome us sometimes. See? With the situations. Who was the one that was ate by the fish, by the big fish? Jonah. He told the same thing. Got there and delivered the message. And then he gets on the knee, that little whatever thing he was, getting some shade. And Lord, will you take my life? See, that's what happens when we face a lot of problems. We're human beings. We are not supermans. And we're fragile. Minds are very fragile. I came out of a war with PTS. Just because you see an accident in the car and somebody killed and you think that that don't cause something, you don't feel it, but the mind is so fragile. You know, that later on you start having problems and you don't know why. Well, we are not made out of steel, you know. If it wasn't for God, grace and mercy, the things of life would crush us. Because salvation, we have it in these vessels of what? Clay. And it only takes, don't take too much pressure to break clay. But I'm glad that God keeps us every day. And sometimes when we get to that point that, God, I cannot continue. I don't know what's going on. Why this? Why that? And we question. Jesus did the same thing. Can we find another way? We're humans. And we get overwhelmed with life. And the things of life. But I'm glad that we have a good God. We have a God that gives us strength, that gives us the energy, that gives us the unction to get going. We have a Holy Spirit in us that is greater than the one outside. And he will deliver us of all sickness, diseases, situation. In fact, we are the answer to Satan's challenge. I don't care how he comes. One in me is greater than him. Not me. But inside this vast, this is something. This flesh is so weak. That's why we cannot, you know, depend on the flesh. In our thoughts. In our feelings. Because we're not going to get too far. We start complaining if we do. But I'm glad that God is patient and God is love and God is cares and is tender with us. The way he treats us, you know, when Brother JJ finished the day, you know, and we went on again, right? We just said, Lord, forgive me, and we go on. Because God is a forgiving God. He understands. He went through it. That's why he experienced what he experienced as a human being. So he knows how you feel about things. So when you get into that point, I'm not saying not to. Go ahead, tell him how you feel. Let's get it out of the way. But then after that, then you continue with a purpose. With the same purpose you started, you keep moving forward. So, it says, it's what you get out of bed in the mornings. Even when the day is dreary, you tire, and you know that the task is going to be a challenge ahead of you that day. Like I was talking about JJ and his testimony. Or sometimes when things are going to get hard, purpose is what gets you going. Purpose will see you. We have to have a purpose. If not, we'll be quitters. And then right away, we start quitting. We start complaining. This is too hard, Lord. But he will not give you nothing that is going to break you, the Bible says. No temptation will come to you that will break you. With every temptation will be an answer. See, that's his word. So, just like Ruth, I remember Ruth when I look at purpose. Because Ruth says, it doesn't matter. Your God will be my God. No, that's purpose. Your people will be my people. I don't care what happens. I don't care when I get there, if I get rejected, because she was a Gentile. She says, everything, I will follow you. Now, that is a woman with purpose. See? Nothing was going to turn her back. She got her mind made up. The mindset was, I don't care. I follow you everywhere to the end of the world if I had to go. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Now, that's a mindset that we need today. Because Ruth represents the bride. Because the bride has her mind made up already. And it doesn't matter what comes, what challenge comes, we are going to rise. See? So Ruth had a purpose, not a short-term purpose. She committed to a lifetime purpose. And I'm going to get there sooner or later, but that's what church is all about. That's what unity, that's what Christian is all about. This is not a temporary purpose. When I came to the Lord, that the Lord, you know, drew me, I did not say, well, Lord, I'm going to serve you until. Until what? If things get too hard, too rough, too tough, how will we stop? No. My purpose was to serve him, to follow him the rest of my life. And whatever his will and desire, that's what I wanted. That means to come to church every day, that's me. I don't know, talking about nobody else. I already purpose in my heart. Me and my family, we serve the Lord. That's my purpose. Part of my purpose. So that means we get up on Sunday, we get up on Wednesday, nobody asks where we going. No, they just they go to church. And I took them to church every time I could, every time I was not sick or even sometimes sick. I got my little family, we got dressed and we went to church. Why? Because I already purpose in my heart. If you don't have a purpose, anything goes. You know, we have to have a purpose because that defines the parameters. You know, that's why even when we came into the message, my wife and I, the family, in one side started making pressure and I started showing her pictures. Oh, when we used to go to the pool and we did that and they have a lot of pictures when we got together and party and the whole world, you know. I said, look at how much fun they used to have, the tour. And look at you now. You look like a Quaker or something like that. Like something came out of an antique shop or something. Well, that didn't stop me or stop her. Because we had a purpose. And that wasn't my purpose. I know what my purpose. I'm clear about my purpose. And that's why you need to have a clear purpose. So when things like that come, there is no way to figure out what I'm going to do. I already know what I'm going to do because I have a purpose. Sometimes the family want to do things on Sundays, you know, because that's the day of ball games and that's the theme of, you know. Not that because they're Catholic, you know, they can go to church on a Saturday. They got, you know. You know, they go on Saturday at 12 o'clock, whatever it is. So if you cannot make it on Sunday, they let you go on Saturday so you can enjoy your Sundays. But not talking about denomination, that's fine. All I'm saying is that's not my purpose. It never was my purpose. So when they invite me to do their things, you know, birthdays, whatever they have, whatever little thing to get together, my answer was I didn't have to think. I didn't have to think if I wanted to come to church or not. My answer was, sorry, if you do it on Sunday, I cannot be there, period. And I kept it like that the rest of my life, and we're still doing that. Why? Because I got a purpose. And my purpose is that this is part of the big purpose that God has for me. And purpose make you give you a mindset. Now, if we start kind of playing between two thoughts, that's an unstable person. Well, do I go? Do I not go? No. Purpose, define right away. You don't have to worry about it. You don't even have to think about it because you got a purpose. And everything you do since you get up in the morning and since you lay down is to fulfill the purpose. So anything that don't fulfill the purpose, you just don't have to think about it. That's all. How easy it is. Do I make it easy? It is that easy. But in practice, it's another thing. So Ruth had a purpose. She had a strong sense of purpose. Not just a purpose. A strong sense of purpose. That even if they worse you down trying to make it, yeah, people ask me, are you going to be able to do this or do that? Even if it kills me. Because even if it kills me, that's my purpose. Even if it wore me down trying to do it. Because it's my strength. It's my joy. And if I'm in the right track, in his purpose, he promised me already. I get sick sometimes. And not sometimes I go to Mexico and I pray for pastors that their wives are sick too. And I call God on the scene. I said, God, you call these two for a purpose. They cannot fulfill your purpose in that kind of a mess they are right now. So he needs to be healed and she needs to be healed because that's her maid, that's her companion to help him. He cannot do this by himself. And I bring God to the sea. I say, Lord, you promise. They want to do your work. That's their purpose. Not that way. Can't do it. So, Lord, we need something here. Next day, I get a call after I come to the States. The pastor's wife called me, and she'd been having this dizziness and falling and some kind of problem that the doctor didn't even know what it was, and they wanted to do all kind of things. Next day, she called me and says, I'm healed. And he was too. Why? Because that's a life with purpose. God will honor that. You know what? God will honor purpose. God knows our hearts. My wife, I asked for prayer the other day, 2 weeks ago on Sundays, because she was having problem with the stomach. She was low almost 48 hours. She was just could not hold anything. And I came Sunday by myself. I ask you for prayers. I put a thing. So I went home and I found her eating pancakes. She was eating bananas. She was eating toast. So I found her well sitting and she said, I'm good. I need my wife. And God gave it to me. And we are workers together. We're fulfilling the same purpose in our life. Until God do us apart by with the door there, I need her. So, it was your prayers now. It was your prayers that Sunday. And Brother Doug that preached at the end did that. Your prayers means a lot. Means a lot. So don't think that there's no purpose in your prayers. We're not going through a little, common things, habit. We read everything. Okay, let's pray. Don't never take it that common. There's people that are depending on you. And I can tell you by experience that we are depending on you. It is your prayers that are holding things up. Or your pastor, his wife, the ministry, the deacons, the school teacher, everything that we do is held by that purpose. We don't take it lightly. Sometimes purpose is not easy. Sometimes family, work, responsibilities, social expectation, engagement. Sometimes we often abandon the idea of purpose. So sometimes I guess we get overwhelmed, with everything that goes on. And we forget our version of ourselves. God had an image of ourselves before the foundation of the world. But Satan is trying to rob you that. So your purpose is to keep that vision, to keep that image afresh. So every morning you know who you are. You're a son, a daughter of God. You know what God called you, what purpose he called you for, to glorify his name in everything that you do, bring glory to God. Amen. So even when life sometimes gets in the way, and I can't understand, I'm human too. Sometimes we forget who we are, what we are, and what is our purpose of being here and together in unity. God's trying to accomplish something in this local church with our purpose. It cannot be accomplished. It just takes one person that is belong to the assembly, and this is your pastor, and this is your church. If your purpose does not line up with everybody else's purpose, I don't say we have to believe the same way in the sense, to like the same things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking the same purpose that God called you for. We have to fulfill it. It's just one purpose in life. See? And it's to finish the work. He called us, redeem us, save us for a reason. Amen? And we're going to get into that in a little bit more. Because we need to have that sense of purpose. Because that sense of purpose, what it's going to do over time, is going to sustain you. Do you know that? You don't forget who you are and what you are and what you're supposed to do. And when the things and trial comes, it will keep you. Because your mind is already made up. And you are going, you have to climb a mountain. It doesn't matter. Because your mind is already made up that you have a purpose in life. Amen? And that purpose will keep you connected. You know why some churches are empty? Because they ain't got no purpose. Everybody have they think they have a purpose, but it's not a collective purpose. It's just individual purposes. We are individuals, but we should have one purpose in mind. We should have one mind. We should have one accord. We have one unity, not two or three unities. You should not have different kind of definition for anything. It's just one definition. That's why we come to church, so we can learn. And purpose keep us together, connected. If not, if you have another idea what a purpose is, then that's why sometimes we don't come to church. Because we are not defined on what is my purpose in life. I don't need to run around to another church to hear somebody else because my purpose, God called me to this church with this pastor. My purpose is to be here when the church is open. Over. I don't have to think about it. If there's somebody out there that is better, they have to wait until the lesser get done. See? And I'm not saying that as the truth. I'm just saying I take the lesser and the better can wait. Because it doesn't matter. This is what God put me. And my purpose is not to miss a church service. Why? Because that's what God called me. He's going to help me. I'm going to grow. He's going to teach me through the ministry. So my purpose is to learn, to come expecting to be that person that he wants me to be. He used the ministry, everything here to shape you and to mold you. I don't know what purpose anybody else got out there. When you go and listen, I don't know the preaching and all the prayer, you don't know what purpose and you don't know what agenda, you don't know where he's coming from. And I'm not trying to say that they're all that way. But even if you try, churches have their own cultures and their own purposes. Purposes sometimes kind of deviate here and there. So you're not going to find another church that is going to do what we do. Generally, yes, we message churches. Generally, we have the same value, the same belief, and the same thought. But the purpose is what I'm talking about. The purpose. If we all have the same purpose, we do the same thing, don't you think so? We will act the same. I mean, you don't have to be me and I don't have to be you, but if we have the same purpose in life, we try to pursue it with all we got. See? And we don't have to compromise. See? That's the good thing about a purpose. I don't have to compromise with life. I don't have to compromise with anything because I know where I'm going. I know where I came from and I know what I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed. That's already settled. See, a purpose we set and all that. So there's no compromises. Sunday, church is church. And that's it. Anything else that don't fit that is out. Because that's my measuring stick. Purpose will give you a measuring stick, a direction, a roadmap in life. Without a purpose, then, it's just like Brother Branham calls it. We are hitchhiking from church to church. That's not a purpose. Think about it. What anybody trying to accomplish hitchhiking? That's why Brother Brown calls it from church to church. What good can that bring? When you're going to listen to many voices, even though if they're talking about the same thing. Because our ways, finding purpose is very important. See? And maybe finding purpose, it looks like it's a nice thing to have. It's more than a nice thing to have, young people. Without the purpose, you have no direction in life because you don't know where you're going. By now, you guys that are 19, 20, 18, yeah, you are almost out of the teens, you should have an idea what your life it's going to be. Where are you going with your life? Because if you don't, you're going to hear anything. You're going to believe anything. Because you don't have nothing to lean. You don't have a purpose. A purpose helps you to eliminate everything that is not. Period. A good purpose, a good strong, eliminates most of your questions about. And even if you don't know, if it's not your purpose, it's out. You don't have to know everything. All you have to know where you're going and how you're going to get there and what is your purpose in getting there. Why I'm in this journey. Why did God call me? See? So finding purpose is very important. So, purpose is good to live a meaningful life. See? Sometimes they have been proven that if you have a purpose in life, you live very healthy, joyful. Why? Because you don't have no stress. You know, if you don't have no purpose, you have to decide between two things every day. But purpose keep a consistency. Purpose, you know, keep you straight, focus on that. So there's no stress. I don't have no stress in my life. I know what to do, when to do it, when I need to do it. There's no question about it. I don't have to stress out. What's today? Wednesday. I got to preach. That's what I have to be. I don't care what comes. Unless you know, the second coming. I mean, the coming of the Lord is that day. Forget it. I cancel everything. I won't be in this pulpit, so I hope you, none of you be here either. But that's the only way I will cancel my purpose in this life. So they have been proven that if you have a sense of a purpose, you can reduce the risk of diseases, you know that? Because it's less stressful. You don't have to try to figure out or try to make your mind about anything. It's already made up. And there's no stress. Yes or no? You don't have to figure it out. You already know that. So you don't have to stress out. I don't have to stress out with my family. Oh, I like to be there. I know it's family, but, you know, when was the last time? No, I don't have to stress about the thought. I already know what I'm going to do, so that's not a stress for me because my mind is already made up that that's what I'm going to do. And like I said, it gives you a feeling of being connected. That's why you come to church. There's a purpose God has for you. But that purpose is not you alone. It's a body move. So you have to feel connected. You have to connect. You cannot have a purpose of being disconnected. There's no such a thing. Because you know what happened? What is the alternative? Isolation and loneliness. If you are not connected and that's not your purpose, then the alternative is you are there by yourself, lonely, and then you get depressed and you get pressed and you get all these things. Why? It's easy. Just come back and get connected. Because here is all that you have need. So that's why sometimes people have crisis in their life. Because sometimes they forget what God has called them for and their purpose. And they only come to church when they are in trouble. And I'm not thinking about anybody. I'm just giving you examples. That the alternative of not being connected, not having a purpose, is having crisis. And that's stressful. And that's why we minimize diseases, because I know who I have believed, and he's able. So when I get I get sick or anything, I don't get stressed out. Yeah, sometimes my mind goes everywhere because Satan likes to poke. But I don't have to worry. I don't care if I have to drag myself to church. You know? I know by the time I get out of church, I'm going to feel better than I came in. And it happens to me many times. And maybe you find that purpose changes throughout your life. The purpose don't change. But purpose has to grow. Because you start with a purpose. But that gets bigger and bigger and better. I'm bigger, I'm better. The more you know, the more you are, the more, you know, this thing gets greater and greater. See? So, the purpose grows and progresses and helps you to stay connected. And then, at the end, a good purpose being patience, and patience bring character at home, because nothing is going to move you. You already, the children looked at you. You are God to your children. So if you tell your children it is good to go to church, but we don't follow through, what is the children going to grow up knowing? Well, church is not that important. What kind of a sense of purpose you want to leave? What kind of a legacy you want to leave? I lived my life the best I knew how to, because I wanted to leave my children. That was my first purpose, is to leave my family a legacy. I don't have no money, so I cannot leave him money. I'm not rich. I cannot leave him anything. I probably cannot leave him nothing. But one thing I can leave him. See? A good life, you know, for God. A father that stood firm. See, I want them to know God. But how are they going to know God unless you are parents, the God to your children? You got to show your children who God is. You can bring them to church. But I don't have any. You know, I can try to teach them. I can try to tell them, don't do that, do this, do the other. But who has more influence on the children? You think the Sunday school is? Well, if you go home, your children go home and see you doing everything that was against what was preached, what do you think who is going to believe? Well, I know, because I got grandchildren and I try to tell them to do certain things. And do you know what they tell me? That's not the way my mom told me to do it. So I had to, let me find out what mama, so I can support mama's version, because mine's not working. So whatever you do in life, indeed, in work, children are looking at. If you're saying God is good and God is this and that, they're going to watch you. They're paying attention. Because you are God to them. You are the first responsible for that growth out of bringing, not me, not the pastor. Your responsibility is to live what you hear, the word that you hear that goes in your heart, to live it in front of those children, because they know. You think that they don't see it, they don't hear, they know what they're looking at. So let's look at this position of the seven church ages. Now listen closely. God being a savior, it was necessary. Not that he wanted to do it. It was imperative. It was necessary. That he predestined a man who would require salvation in order to give himself reason and purpose. If God has to have a reason and a purpose, what about you? You think you're going to go through life without it? If God, perfect in all things, needed a purpose and a reason to be. He was a father. He was a father. But he needed to predestine a man, you know, to fall. So he had the reason, the purpose to become a healer, a father. See? He says, of being. So without a reason and a purpose, you cannot be what you want to be. God was a God before the foundation of the world. It was an object of worship. That's what God is. That's what is defined. But it wasn't nobody to worship. So what purpose you think God had? In the darkness for eons, eons of time. Oh, I play with this clay. Ooh, that word is, ooh, that star. Ooh, the sun. Okay, that was the whole purpose of Haiti? No, we realized that he had a better purpose, a bigger purpose. All this was just part of the purpose. See? And he figured, well, okay, what I'm going to do next, I have to have a purpose of being God, or if not, you know, nobody's going to worship me, I cannot heal anybody, I cannot protect, I cannot save. Well, I need to have a reason to be who I am. So if you think that he needed a reason to be that, don't you need a reason to be who you are? Obey. That is 100% correct. And multitude of scripture bear it at the very point verse in Romans 11:36 says, of him, through him, and to him, and all things, the whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. Brother Ram says, identifying the masterpiece. He has a purpose, God. And you're not going to come to church not knowing what God called you and what is your purpose in life. Because if God needed a purpose, I need double purpose. Anyway, if he has a purpose in your life, you need to find out what is your purpose in your life. It says, each individual, that no one else on the face of the earth can take your place. I put here, no outsourcing. You cannot outsource your purpose or get somebody else to do it for you. God called you for something. And he gave you a gift. You need to find out what your purpose is in this local body. Because when we find that, we work, we have revival. Because we all have purpose. We're not coming to church just to come to church and have it or make it common. We have a purpose when we come to church. And that's why I come to church, because I have a purpose. Without purpose, you can fly by night. You can go anywhere you want to. Because there's no purpose. But see, God don't want that. No one else can face, he says. Nobody can take your place. God has got something for you. So this is not a groupie thing. Love Divine is not a groupie church. Oh, I belong to Love Divine. Okay, what is your purpose? Well, let me ask my brother, what is the mission? What is my objectives? What is my goal? What is my purpose? No, you should know all that. That's why you came here and you accepted, you said, I want to be under your ministry. I want to be in this church. I want to be with this lovely group of people. For what? Just to say that, see, that's not going to keep you steady. God has to do something for you. You are made like that. So don't fight it. That's where the stress comes. That's where the sickness. Because we fight and we give him against the prick like Paul. If you are son of God, daughter of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, you have a purpose. Says, God has something for you. You made like that. So you cannot get away. If you are a son of God, there's something that you yearn for. Maybe you get a little confused, but there's something God put in there that yearn for connection, that yearn for a purpose. Because without purpose, we don't feel complete. See? Without that purpose, sometimes we don't know where we're going and what we're going to do. God put that in there. And if you have that tonight, blessed are you. It says, you were made like that. You was did that way for a purpose. If you are a son or daughter of God, see, you are connected. God is a sovereign. And his work, says, his work, he even thinks different. We different one from another. Gifts and calling, see? We don't have to like the same things. I don't like apple pie, and I don't like cherry. I like pineapple. You don't have to make me a pineapple pie. I'm just telling you this because it is me. I like coconut a lot. I'm a coconut. Raised in an island. That's my culture. That's my way. I love coconut pies. And don't even have to make me one. I'm not begging for one. I got a baker anyway. I don't need no other bakers. I got the best baker in town, in the world. So, we are different. Individually, we have our own, how we perceive things. We have different perceptions about things. Even if we're looking at the same thing, we have different passions. Not everybody can have this passion. God gave me the passion because that's a gift, okay? But not everybody was created to be a preacher. But we have a lot of gifts. God has created you for something. We all don't agree in everything. But that's not what I'm talking about. But we are different in that sense. We grew up in different places, different social, cultural places. And we are shaped and formed in different ways, mentalities. And what I like, you hate. Yeah? I tell some people, do you like menudo? Yuck. I love menudo. That's no problem. We are different. Don't make me something else because you don't agree with me. That's not the point. You do your thing, I do my thing. You don't criticize me, I don't criticize you. And that's fine. But God called you to be who you are, independent. You have an independent walk with God. But you are part of a body move. So even that we are different, even that we look different, we come from different places of the world, we still have one purpose. See? The pie is not what joined me to you. And some, you know, sisters, I don't like their cooking. No. I don't have nobody in mind. I don't have nobody in mind. And you will not like my cooking. You know? Because you don't want to eat chitlins and neck bones and green peas. You know, you might don't like that stuff from the South. I like that from the South. I spent time in the South. So I like that stuff. But some of you don't like that stuff. It's not that I don't like your cooking. I just don't like certain things the same way you don't like certain things. And that's fine. The thing is that that's not what we need to agree on. We need to agree that we are following one purpose and one purpose. He makes men different, he says. He gives us, each one, a different place. So having a purpose, he gives you a place in the church. So if you don't know your place and your position, you need to find a purpose so you can find a place and position in the church. So that's why we roam around, because we don't have a place. We don't know what our place, our position is. He says, different place. And a palm tree can never be a hickory. Again, we got different type ministers and different ministers, and we don't try to copy each other. You know, I am what I am. And I'm happy being what I am. I don't have to be a second best when I can be, you know, first being who I am, the way God created me. And whatever he gave me, you know, I'm happy. He says, and a palm tree cannot be a hickory. A hickory tree cannot never be a palm. Nobody can take your place, he says. And you shouldn't try to take anybody else's place. See, if you have a sense of purpose, he says, you will rest in your calling and your election. But you need to find out what is your calling and your election. Why God called you. And what is the end result of these things. And that's where purpose comes in. Because you are an individual to God. And God has a purpose for you. He made you thus. So you cannot get out of this one. If God made you and filled you, God has a purpose for you. What is that purpose? You're just going to have to find out. He says, God has purpose for you. He made you thus. You said, why did he do that? What did he do it? He's sovereign. He's got a reason for being that way. See? So purpose gives us a reason to be in who we are. So if you don't have no purpose, how do you know who you are? You're still seeking for something. See, people without purpose in life, they're seeking, they're looking. But once they start walking and they start changing and God start working in their life, now before I was lost, now I got a purpose. I know where I'm going, see? Without a purpose, we just lost. Amen. But we find out that we are guarded by the word. The word guards us, he says. So, as an individual, our purpose is very unique. You don't do what I do, and we don't try to imitate or copy. God has called you for a particular reason, and it's unique to you, period. The same thing as your print, thumbprint. You know that there's not two the same? God is amazing. So many people, almost 8 trillion, and nobody has the same. Now think about it. So God made you in a way that nobody can take your place. The position and the place that you occupy, nobody can take that. And if you are not there, what do you think it happens? But the body what? Has to carry, you know, that person or that gift, if we can. All I'm saying is that if we miss service, this is what Brother Doug says, the dynamic change. You know what? Because you have a purpose, God gave you a purpose, and that purpose is to what? To bring the bride, the body, the church to a point. See? So that means, I don't care how small, I don't care how big, we need everybody. God did not call me and say, well, whatever you want to do, you do. No. I have a purpose. You have a purpose. He says, we all have particular talents. I understand that, you know. And we all have particular experience. When I was growing up, I have experience in Puerto Rico that you didn't have in Mexico or in Spain. Because the surrounding, the culture, everything else. We eat different, you know, do different things. So, in that sense, we are different. It says, Brother Brown says over here, in the Identification Master of God says, in heaven, we look at the celestial bodies. He says, the Bible said that even one star different from another star. And the Bible said that the glory of the sun is different than the glory of the moon and the stars. See, they are not all the same, but they have a function and they need everybody. I mean, one of the stars get out of place and then what happened? You know, chaos. And that's what happened in church. One person is not there fulfilling their purpose and what happened? Well, could be chaos. It says, the Bible said that even one star different from another, there is Sirius and the different ones, Mars, Jupiter, all these different ones. They different one from another. The sun different from the moon and the moon from the star. And they are angels such as they are seraphims, they are cherubim, they are angels, great angels in degree. So they don't have the same position. And even in the new world to come, the king of the earth brings their honor into the city, Brother Brown says. So, we got particular talents and gifts and experiences in life. We have different skill sets. You know, we have different passions. You know, the passion that I have, don't invite me to fish. That's not my passion. Don't invite me to hunt. That's not my passion. But I'm weird? No. I just don't like it. Why? Because in Puerto Rico, there's no hunting. There's no animal to hunt. Yeah, Puerto Rico was an island there by itself. And the reason we got dogs is because the Spaniards brought the dogs to the New World. But when Puerto Rico was there, you know, pure and non-molested, it was not much in there. Fish, yes. Indians will fish. And they do their own crab and they do their own dinners and supper. They bring everything they want, their hands. But it wasn't too much shooting. And you go to Puerto Rico and we don't have any. We don't have no deers. We don't have no moose. We don't have any. I don't know. You can shoot at nothing. Anyway, you have to be careful shooting. You might just hit somebody. The island is not that big. If you miss, you know. That's what I tell people. We don't play football. I don't like football. Because I never was exposed to football. Puerto Rico, we don't have football. Now when I left, they started playing soccer. But anyway, the island is too small. Every time they kick the ball, it goes out to the water. We lost many balls. And no, that's... So I'm trying to show you I'm different because of my shaping. And my passions are different because of who I am, where I came from. You know? So... American music, I never was exposed until I came to America 20 years later. I was already made up, shaped like a man. I was already done. I don't like rock music. I never liked pop music. I never liked country music. I never liked music at all. I would listen to my music, salsa. And you said, you're weird, but I was already shaped and formed. And everything that I knew is in that island. Everything that I know me is there. Everything that I identify with is there, not yours. Because you start telling me about you and I'm lost. I cannot identify with all this stuff you, and you can identify with me. So if I don't go to a, I've never been in the football game. And I have invited, they invited me. In fact, I went to one. My brother-in-law, I was living in El Paso, and he wanted to go to a game that was playing, I don't know who, was, but it was a team that he likes from here or there, I don't know. So he says, I will drive to El Paso, we stay with you that week, and I got the tickets, you go, because they were going to play the game in El Paso. I said, okay, you know, we make it a day anyway, we like to see family, we are way out there. So he came, and we went to the football game. And I'm sitting there, and all these people following that, you know, skin ball, and I don't know what's going on. So people get up, and I'm sitting there just, but they're paying homage to me, I guess. I'm that important, you know, doing the wave, and I don't get excited about that. People do, because you like it. That's your passion, but it's not mine. My passion is coming to church, and we should have the same passion. And we should act, and we should worship, and we should rejoice, and we should enjoy. We got that passion down. If not, then there's something with your purpose. So I hate it. And to today, that's the only game I went, and I had to ask my brother-in-law after, what was this, what was this? And he tried to explain to me, well, oh, forget it. I'm not interested. No hunting. Don't like American music. Don't like football. Don't like apple pie. I'm messed up, ain't I? Yeah, I'm just, so far I don't like what you like. And I don't know about Brother Cabo. Let's leave that in that side there first. But that's how we are. That's what we, even in America, I came to America, and a guy from Texas talked to me, and another from Louisiana, one from New York. I cannot understand them. They're speaking English to me, but they're speaking different English. Because I said, what a man, I mean, those all those accents and shortcuts, well, we do it in Puerto Rico too. In fact, people go from Puerto Rico to Spain sometimes, professionals, to do certain workshop or something, and they put them in TV, you know, and in that day, they, and so the media wants to tell people what's going on, you know, so. It's funny because the guy is speaking in Puerto Rico, Spanish is supposed to be the same as Spain, but it's not, I guess. Because in the bottom, they put captions in Spanish. He's speaking my language, but they put in caption because must be that the language differ in certain points that they don't understand what the guy's talking about. We can't even do that. See? He says, different from one another, the two souls different from the moon, and blah, blah, blah. He says, and the king of the earth bring their honors in the city. 65. We are always going to be that way. So forget it now. We're going to be that way. We're going to be different. It says, we are going to be that way because God is not a CR robot harmony house. He's not a cookie cutter. We are not going to do the same thing. We call it for different things. And he gave us different gifts and talents and things for some reason. We're going to see that at the end. He is God of variety. He makes one way, like me, weird, and one another way, like you. But we must serve him in the way that God made us. That is the key. And be glad and stay behind his word. And that is the way God did it. Be true to him. 66, but when we find out that the enemy got through, that word to this, the handiwork of God, he merited. And that is exactly what he's doing now. He is sleeping through that handiwork. The enemy is trying to make us world council churches. Huh? So we can have the same mind, mentality, the same thought. We all believe the same thing, even though there's more than one way to make it, but hey, we all believe in God. He says, why? Why? Man cannot even agree with one another. how are we going to make a whole world agree with a man? And as soon as you do that, 67, we got one. We must keep a harmony. Purpose bring harmony. Is what Brother Brian trying to say. This is what I'm trying to get to. Purpose bring harmony. One mind, one accord, one purpose. Because if we are in harmony, we have to hear the director and we have the same purpose. We want to play the same music, right? If he's directing and you're part of the choir and you're part of the symphonic, you cannot play what you want. You have to play what is there and you have to listen to the director. And we are individuals, different from one another, but one, the purpose is that we come together as a group in unity, in harmony, to what? To create a big symphony. It will not happen. That's why we come to church. One mind, one accord, one purpose of heart, you know? And then the director, the Holy Ghost, starts. And he brings us all together. No wonder they were having revival. We cannot even agree with each other. I cannot even agree with my wife. Still, I've been trying for 50 years. And every time I think I got her figured out, she changed the rules. So I had to. So I stopped trying to figure out my. Don't try to figure out your wife or women. Women are. Because when you think you have it, everything changed. The whole ball game changed. Then you had to start all over again. I know, baby. I love you. Anyway. I cannot live without you, baby, so don't worry. And I don't want to start. It's too late now, 50 years later, and 50 pounds more. So no, I'm done. One is enough. Anyway. And the person, the Son of God, Jesus, he says, in one harmony, one mind, one accord, one purpose, united in with God and Christ, in Christ Jesus our Lord. What? With that God. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word remains God, and always will be God, because God is in the Word. Now, what he's saying is God had a purpose at the beginning. Jesus had the same purpose. We didn't see him changing. He told us a purpose when he took the scroll and he read from Isaiah. See? He had the same purpose that God had in his mind, redeeming. Saving, redeeming the world. That's the plan or redemption. He didn't change it. He did what he's supposed to do and completed his purpose. Die for it. Even dying for it. He wanted to deviate for the purpose, but God, Brother Man said that God made him that way. He could not get away. You are made a way too. To fulfill a purpose of God in your life. And he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the person of the Son of God, Jesus, was talking about Jesus, that we are an extension. See, Jesus was God in flesh. You and I, we are an extension. That's what we're supposed to be here. To finish the work that what? That he started with, an extension of God. So that means you have to have the same purpose that Christ had in him, the same mind. You have to have the same, because we're supposed to finish this. How are we going to finish something that you didn't start it? God started that from the beginning, before the foundation. And we need to finish that purpose. God did his part. The bride will do his part too. The bride as a collective body. But individually, you have to find out your purpose in the body. You have a purpose. God has a purpose for you in this body. In the person and Son of Jesus. Okay. It says, Jesus was God's continuation and extension of the redemptive plan. The bride is the continuation of Christ's redemptive ministry. That's what Brother Doug just preached. That's our purpose here. Our ministry is a ministry of what? Reconciliation. And that was Jesus' purpose. And that was God's purpose. Bringing everything to him. Reconciling the world in Christ. That p- purpose has not changed. And as a body, that's what we're supposed to be doing, bringing the last one in. See? '67, we got one, we must keep in harmony. So purpose keep us in harmony. Quickly, I got a few minutes. I'm going to show you, there's many places in the Bible, but I want to give you three places that show how your purpose not only is just, you don't grow, purpose progresses and grow. It's just not stale. You know, well, you don't have a purpose today and then tomorrow you have another one. Your purpose should grow. And if you have a purpose, this is what it should be happening. Okay? We have to have a mindset to grow. You know, we don't want to stay like children, tossed around from every doctrine that comes. We need to grow. Purpose required for me to grow. So I can link everything to that sense of purpose. The more I learn, the more I have to link to that purpose, see? I need to, you know, look at what it is and what it's not. I mean, my purpose when I was a teenager has changed. It's not gone away, but I have added more to it now, see? So it grows. It's constantly growing. And the thing is that your purpose should grow so you can become the version that God wants you to be. Okay? The version that he had of yourself. You have to grow to that. The reason we are here is because we're still lacking something, right? Because if we were done, we would be out of here. That means there's some growing that we need to do. And purpose will do that for you. It says, becoming a better version of yourself. And as you grow, you identify, you know, the changes or the adding. Or they're deleting sometimes. Sometimes we find out that I should not be doing this one. It just don't work out. Sometimes we have to delete. Sometimes we have to modify. Sometimes we have to add. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. See, for the maturity, for the work of the ministry. See, the ministry of reconciliation is all of us. It's not just the pastor. You have a ministry. Okay, for the edifying of the body. If you don't find your purpose, this body cannot be edified. You take one planet out of the way, and that throws everything in chaos. God called you, gave you a gift. That gift is so we can edify the body. So you see how important it is that we don't come to church just to sit down and hear a good sermon and go home and say, oh, that was good. No, it's a purpose. And now we get together as one body. It says, perfecting the same for the work of the ministry and for the edifying. Your gift should edify me. My gift should edify you. That's the purpose I'm here. Why? Because that is the purpose of God, that we grow, and help each other to what? To grow and get out of here. But that is a body thing. It is not an individual. You cannot have, yes, I understand. Some people are here, spiritually level, and some people are here. It doesn't matter. That's not what I'm talking about. But what we need to do is just help those that are down here to climb. Because as soon as they climb, then we can go. We cannot go until the last one is in, and he's already done the whole thing. But you are here, and your responsibility is to edify one another with whatever God gave you. So if we're not in church, how are you going to edify me? And if you're not in church, how am I going to edify you? It says, for the edifying of the body, till all come to unity. See? That is the goal. Purpose. If we don't come together, we are not out of here. We are hard to come together. And you have to make that a main purpose in your life. It says, of the faith. And there's only one faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. It says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measurement, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, if we do that, this is what happened. If we do that, this is the results. that we henceforth be not more what?
Children.
Purpose? Grow. And the more you grow, the more you mature. And you won't be tossed to and what? Hijacking. And carry about with every wind of doctrine. I'm not afraid to go to the Baptist church or to the Catholic church. Sometimes I go and I'm kind of evangelist, kind of deal. I go to Michigan and I preach in places. I'm not afraid. I mean, I don't have to agree with the pastor 100%, but I'm not afraid that I'm going to get into something. I'm mature enough to know. Don't you think I'm mature enough to know what I'm looking at? I cannot be tossed. I cannot be through and fro. Why? Because I know what I believe and who I believe. I'm settled. And I got a purpose in life to fulfill that. So nothing. Let the challenge come. I know where I'm going. And carry about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby the lie and way to deceive. So growth mindset, it will help you. I know sometimes we have to embrace challenges and opportunities. But we need to persevere in spite of failures. I know that sometimes we start something and we don't finish it or we fail. But I prefer to fail trying than fail not trying. I like to go at it. And maybe I was wrong. Okay. Lord, forgive me. That's not the way I should go. Or this is not my gift. Or this is, I thought it was. That's all. You know, at least I'm trying. Because that's what you do. You embrace challenges, opportunities. And you accept feedbacks and constructive criticism. Let me show you how that works. Sometimes we don't want to. I'm one of them. My wife sometimes criticizes me, and I just go, don't go there. I'm getting better, but I just cannot. I'm good. I'm perfect. Why would you tell me that I'm wrong? Yeah, I dealt, and I've been dealing with that because I don't like somebody telling me how wrong I am, but I know I'm right. Then I get in an argument because I'm right and you're wrong. And we argue, wife and husbands, you know? Because that's the same way in her side. She's a stubborn, hard-headed. And once she gets something in her mind, I can't get it out. That's not diminishing her. That's not humans. Okay? And I don't want to talk about you because I don't know you. But if I talk to your husband or wife, I might get something and I can use it in my material. But I'm using myself and my wife because that's the only two people that I know real good. So Jesus, this woman comes to Jesus and says, can you heal my daughter? She's sick. Jesus looks at her and says, this bread is not for dogs. That's a criticism, huh? How many of you would accept that? What happened next? She thought about it. She said, well, dogs even eat the crumbs that fall from the table to the ground. And Jesus was amazed for the soft answer. She didn't got her, you know, all mad and she didn't get all angry. She called her dog. And Jesus says, go, whatever you ask. He didn't pray. He didn't say anything about healing or anything. He says, for that saying, says, read the script, for that saying, go. And when she got home, what? You know that if you think about it, your response can chase the devil out of here. When somebody come and criticize you, even if it's not right, your response will either win that person or make it worse. So the way you respond is the only thing you can control. And Brother Brown said, I just read the quote, I don't have it with me, but he says, sometimes we want to see miracles and we want to see supernaturals and we want to see all these things. He says, a soft answer. The way you answer another person can chase the devil out of here. The way you answer to your brother, the way you answer to your sister, the way you answer to your wife can chase a devil out. And that's what Brother Brown says. I had the quote. If you need it, I'll send it to you. So all I'm saying is that you need to understand that sometimes we don't like what comes from the Pope. Is, oh, he's criticizing me. Oh, well, that's not feedback. Or, I don't, you know, it is how you respond to that. God is looking at that, you know. So all I'm saying is, let's be careful how we respond to one another. How do you write? He's listening at the story of Brother Branham about the squirrel. And she says, that is not but what? That was her answer. She's not asking for anything. She's making a what? A comment to what is going on. Be careful what you are saying when somebody's saying something else that you don't like or you dislike or you like. Not have to be that you like. Because you answer what the brother says. God was pleased. Will you answer? Yeah. God hears what you said and what you do and what you tell one another. We are Christians. Be careful how you answer, because you can be blessed. And you can bless that person too. The other day I was, I read all this stuff and I read that quote by Ivana. And my neighbor came and he's complaining that my dogs are making too much noise. It's not the first time. He complains about other things. So he told my Stephen, my son-in-law, because he didn't talk to me. He better not talk to me. He already know me. Because we've been through this thing. I'm talking about myself. I don't have nobody else to talk about. And then I started thinking, you know, mind goes. Satan, you know, just give him a peace of mind. Tell him. Tell him to move to a 55, you know, trailer, 55-year-old trailer with no dogs and no children. If that's what you want. And if you don't like my dog, move. I had done with that guy all I can. I can. He sometimes has complained before about other things, and I had done trying to, you know, keep the peace at all costs. But I'm getting tired, you know. My purpose sometimes is hard. I mean, so I kept thinking, and the Lord's saying, your answer will determine how this is going to end. I didn't like it, but, you know, you had to. You can go ahead and give him a piece of your mind, and then you go ahead and you know, take whatever is going to come out of that decision. Or you be nice to those that criticize you. Even though if you don't like the criticism, even if you don't like what they're saying, you know, oh, why do you have that long hair? Well, I'm dressed. I mean, you don't have to do that. I mean, you look like, you know, this and that, and I'm take from one of those stores, you know. So I'm trying to think what I'm going to tell them. So, I didn't say nothing, but I've been trying to keep the, you know, the dogs inside the house most of the time with me, or I keep them in the backyard because I keep my dogs in the side, and that is the side of his house is right there too, and his office is there. He work at home. His office is next to, and his bedroom is on the top like mine in that side, and that's where the pup was spending most of the time. So now, I decided, okay, you know, I do something. You know, even because me, you know, sometimes you have to bite your tongue and, you know, and a soft answer can turn people. You know? And that's what happened. It's many examples in the Bible. Another thing that we need to understand, that's growing mindset. So I am growing still, you know. And since I read that, I need to figure out how can not offend, even though if I get offended. No, somebody, if I get used, the Bible says you love your enemy. You love those that mistreat you. Why do you do it? With a soft answer. Because you want to gain their soul. Or you can lose them forever. Like the Bible says, you can tie, untie. Mm-hmm. Another thing is a vision. And I'm trying to hurry up. A vision. Because a vision will serve as a roadmap that will guide you towards your purpose. My purpose is to go to New York, and I don't have a map. Good luck. I might end up in Mexico, in Tijuana. I don't know. You have to have a vision. A vision, what is a vision? Well, I'm here, and this is what I want to be. I'm here, and this is where I want to go. This is point A. I want to go to point B. How am I going to get there? My purpose is there. But I need to know what? A vision of what I want to do. That's what Brother Doug preached about the vision. He's trying to keep the vision in front of us. Because it guides you toward your purpose. See? So, establish you. And also help you what is important to you. I mean, if that is what I put all my value, this is important to me, to please God and do His desire and His will, then I have to have a vision. Not a television, a vision. When you have a vision, when you have an objective, when you have goals, then it's easier for you to make decisions when the time comes, I told you, right? Your mind is already made up. So having a vision of what you want and what you want to be, it will keep you aligned with all your values, you know, your beliefs. See, there's no second guess at anything. You know that you know that you know. This is me. This is what I want. That's where I want to go. That's what I want to be, like Jesus. If that's your goal and that's your vision, then find out with the model. Here's our pattern. How did he act? He never opened his mouth. He never complained all the way to the cross. Why? That was his purpose in life. That's what God made him. And he knew his purpose. He found himself in the scripture. And he did not open his mouth. Let's not even go in that. We know what happened. So, and it's easier for him to make that decision because he knows his purpose and he knows the goal. And then he finished the race. He finished what God has given. He finished everything. And that's why you are here, to finish this race. Also, it keeps you motivated. A purpose will keep you motivated. Without a purpose, you don't know if you want to do, you want to do. No, yes, yes, no. Let me flip a coin. No. It keeps you motivated. You know why some people are not motivated to come to church? Because they don't have a purpose. See? And I'm not thinking about nobody. It's just purpose will keep you motivated. Okay. You want to be an engineer. You want to be a doctor. You're still in first grade, right? Or in kindergarten. I don't know. Well, that's my vision. That's my goal. That's my purpose in life. This is what I'm... You know how long it's going to take you to fulfill that and all the classes you got to go and all the misery and the pain and the sleepless night and the studying and the burning of your eyebrows and the whole thing that goes through there to do that? But if you really, that's what you want and that's your purpose, you don't care. Even if you get burdensome sometimes, but you're going to do it. Why? Because that's what you want. You got a purpose. You got a passion. This is what I want to be. And I don't care what it takes. And you go to school for 12 years. Feel sorry for you guys going to school. I will never go back to school. Oh, man, that was hard. My boy, well, one of my grandchildren gets up in the morning. I used to do the same thing my wife used to do. We all this. I hate school. And he wakes me up in the morning again. I don't want to go to school. It's the same thing all the time. And I hate school. Then I stopped him. I said, you know, sometimes even when you hate, you know. I said, baby, what do you want to be when you grow up? He says, well, I like to be a programmer. I like apps and he likes all that stuff. He likes to, you know, computers. He's 8 years old. And I said, if that's what you want to be, but if you don't go to school, you cannot be that. Then he thought, I guess, okay. If you have a purpose, you have to. You know, even if you hate it. I hated to go to school. And I decided after I finished my 12 years of school that I wanted to be an engineer. So I went another 4 years. You got to be motivated, I mean. because you don't get enough, you know. After you already got 12 years, patiently waiting through all these things that I don't know. I went to college and they started telling me all this math and all these things. And I said, why do I need this? I will never use this in my life. That's not what I want. I want the good parts, you know. I will never use this math, you know. You know, calculus and algebras and all kinds. You have to take differential equation. You know, when you become an engineer, you have to take all kind of math. And I kept saying, I don't need all this just to be an engineer. I will never become a developer, you know, to design anything. You need all that if you're going to design, you know, equipment. But I'm not. I just want to be an engineer, you know, mechanical engineer or whatever, electrical engineer. That's what I became. So the thing is, you got to take the good with the bad and the uglies. If that is your purpose, that is your vision, you got to take it all. Even when things get bad and when things get to the point that you cannot stand it, when sometimes you don't even want to do them, you have to. Things get ugly, but if that's your path, you have to do it. I'm almost finished. One more thing. So a vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. So you have to have a vision of what you want to be. You want to be like Jesus? Study his life. That is a pattern. What he did is what you want to do. You want to be a copy. Right? But that's too hard, what he did. Well, then you don't want it. If I want to be like him, I want to be exactly. I want to do whatever it takes. That's what I want to be. He went to the synagogue every time it was open. I want to go to church every time it's open. He never complained when he was kicked and hit and spit on. I want to be the same way. I want to, if I don't have nothing nice to say, just keep my mouth shut. If you don't have a soft answer, just keep your mouth shut. One more thing, give back. That means helping others. You cannot have a goal unless you have a vision and just to help yourself. When a doctor goes to school all those years, he has one thing in mind. He wants to help people with their pain, with their suffering. He wants to make them well so they can live a quality of life. If your goal is not to help others and give back after you went to do that, then you want to be rich. And if you want to be rich, you might become a lawyer. You know, you get more money than being a doctor. It's a lot of work and a lot of years of study. You know? And it will take you less time. So helping others. And that's how you help yourself. But everyone said, when you help others, you see heaven's doors open. But it's for helping others that you can help yourself. By making someone better, you get better. See? So if somebody asks you, like Jesus said, if somebody asks you, you know, to go a mile, what are you going to do? You go two. Somebody asks you for your coat, just keep it. I never expect to return it back. See? Yeah, sometimes it is hard, but that's what you want to be, and that's your goal, and that's your vision, and that's your purpose. And that is burning in your heart, passionate. I want to be like Jim. You do it. Because God will help you. You're not alone in this. Yes, this message is too hard. Nobody can leave this thing. I agree with you. You cannot do it. You need God. You need the Holy Spirit to do it. See? So, I'm going to jump to, let's see. No, I just got half of a page. Let me finish it then. So, finding purpose in your life don't have to be hard. I'm not preaching something that you can never acquire and you can never reach it. This is not so. I'm a simple person with simple words. I'm not giving you, you know, anything so high that you cannot, you know, get there or accomplish. So it's not hard. You heard the saying, behind every successful person is clarity of purpose. And if you never heard it, you hear it now for the first time. So person that have purpose, see, they are successful. In everything you do. I don't care if it's church, and it's at work, But you have a clarity of purpose. What work requires for you, what you're supposed to do, the same thing at church. See? And if you don't find yourself and find a purpose in life, you continue, like I said, cruising through life in autopilot. See? Because you are not looking for anything. Can you imagine not having no purpose, not having no vision? So you go through life like a sailboat, and wherever the wind blows, that's where you go. Because there's no purpose in life. But when you have a purpose, you have a direction, you have a roadmap, and that's the way you want to go. And you find your way going that way. Whatever it takes to go that way, that's the one, the way I want to go. If not, the alternative is if that you find yourself knocked off of the course and lost. You know? Because you don't know what direction you're moving. And you don't know what's forward. And you don't know what's backwards. Purpose gives you direction. It gives you clarity. It gives you everything that you have. It's a roadmap. See? And if you follow that, you will never be lost. It says, life may be smooth, but one day you may look back and wish you had used your time differently. Don't waste your time. Young people, you know, this is the time to serve the Lord. Because one of these days you're going to do like me. At 30 years old, when the Lord came in my life and I regretted, wasted 30 years of my life. But God has his purpose and he knows what he's doing. So that's what I look at him. You know, it was late in my life. I knew. I went to church. In fact, I was born in church because they took me to church every Sunday. It just when I reached 19, 20, I left. And that was the end of that. For the next 10 years, I had no direction. I had no goals. I had nothing. I ended up in the army. See, because that's what they take. Those people that they don't know where they're going and where they came from. Well, the army can give you a reason. The army can give you, you know, a purpose. Well, I find out I didn't want it now. You don't want to do that. You may find yourself, it says, identifying, acknowledging, and honoring your purpose is the foundation of a well-rounded life. It requires some courage because it is open up questions and ideas that might not be comfortable. Maybe what you have to do, you don't feel comfortable. But it's worth it. Sometimes your family, sometimes your friends, sometimes they will criticize you. Sometimes they make fun out of you. Sometimes it's not comfortable being a message. But it's worth it. Talking to your kids at school. Because you get a lot of pressure. Peer pressure. Huh? And we're trying to go as far as we go to the edge, but are falling, you know, dressing and, you know, the way we look, because we don't want to look different. Why not? I don't want to be like everybody. I want to be different. Identifying. It requires some courage because it's open up questions and ideas that are not comfortable. Purpose provides you with an inner compass that guides every decision and leads you to the experience that will light up your soul. One more and I'm finished. You can stand because I'm going to read you one more quote here. It says, I'm good. Finding your purpose and connecting to your purpose, the meaningful work can be rewarding. So, that's what we are here for, to encourage you to have a purpose of heart and to support you and to guide you and to help you. Because I want to get out of here. That's my purpose. I want a body change. I'm tired of Eli, and I know you are too. We're going to go home in a minute. But one of these days, we will preach the last sermon. We will sing the last song. We will pray the last prayer. And we are out of here. In the meantime, let's find ourselves. Let's find our purpose in life. And let's get and do it. Because it's going to benefit you. It's going to benefit the body. And more, it's going to benefit everyone that you cross your path with. Finding your purpose and connecting to your purpose is meaningful work can be rewarding. And remember, we are here to help you. We are here to support you because we need each other to finish this race with a purpose. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your thoughts, Father. Thank you, Father, for all the good things. You are a good God. All the good things you do for us, Father. And sometimes even sometimes when we think the service is boring, if my purpose is to be in the service, I don't care how boring it is. I need it. We don't just come because it's going to be a revival and we're going to have fun and that's good. Enjoying and rejoice, that's all good. But sometimes, who's going to preach? That's what we don't tell you because, oh, that's boring. I ain't want to go. But you know what? Even when it's boring, you need it. And let me make this clear. No, this place is not boring. I'm just making that a statement because some people think that. Not you. But I pray, Father, that even when the devil wants to come with ideas that are against what we believe to be right and try to convince us, Father, we need to push forward. We need to move forward with purpose in our hearts. That we want to please you, we want to do your will. And this is your will. Father, we thank you again. I ask for my brother, Pastor, Father, the dog, Father, that you give him a nice rest again. We ask you to physically and mentally and spiritually just bring him up. Again, Father, this congregation that we love so much, Father, help us to come together, Father, in one mind, in one accord, in one heart purpose. Father, I want your word to be finished in my life, and I don't know when, and I don't know how long. I will keep moving forward. We will keep moving forward, Father, with purpose in our heart, that we are going to do what your word says and how it says it. Father, we thank you for your guidance and your blessings and your leadership. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit in our life that shows things that keep us, Father, always safe, Father. We thank you for you being in us, Father, because none of this can be done without you. We need you. We need you more today than we need you yesterday, and tomorrow we need you more, Father. Father, just to stay in track, to just stay on purpose, to stay, Father, with the word, Father, not move right and left that you told Joshua. Don't let this word even fall. Just have your eye fixed on the goal, on the vision. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to be like him, Father. And there will be some times that we had to probably go through things, Father, that are not pleasant. Sometimes we had to suffer. Sometimes we had to go to situations, circumstances. But one thing is for sure, I will not let nothing derail me. My mind is made up. I won't go back. My mind is made up. I'm going forward. Father, until that day, either I die or you come, either way, I will be happy. Father, I'm looking forward that day. Father, things are getting bad. Chaos, Father. It is time that we can come together as a group, as a church, and think about our purpose and why we are here. And if we don't, we need to pray, God, give us the wisdom. Father, so I know. We want to know. We want to know our place. We want to know where we're standing, Father. where we're going and how we're going to get there. How long, it doesn't matter. As long as you go with me, you brought me this far, and I trust you for the rest of the way, Father. Father, bless this congregation again. Father, may these words can encourage them, Father, to continue this journey with a purpose in heart. Father, a journey, the devil will try to derail us, but he can't. Because our minds are made up. This is the way we want to go. Your way. The narrow way. The word. Father, we love you. Bless those that are here, those that are listening, those that are not here. Wherever they are, if they're sick or they are traveling, Father, may the Holy Spirit go and comfort them if they need comfort, whatever they have need. If they are not here, Father, and they belong in this congregation, Father, we pray as a group. We need them here. Satan has played some kind of a trick, Father, but I pray in the name of Jesus, break those chains, Father. Bring them back. We need them. We cannot make it unless we are all here that belongs here, Father. We need each other. And when they are not here, Father, there's something missing. I know there's something missing in my heart where I don't see. So, Father, we love you and we ask you all these things, Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this congregation. Continue blessing them, Lord. We want to grow. We want to grow. We want to grow until we get to that headstone, Father, Jesus Christ, perfection. Thank you again. And we ask you to return us home, sound and safe, Father. Keep us until we meet again. We live not from your presence. We live from each other, but keep us, Father. Watch over us. Father, watch over my brothers. And I will love you, Father. Thank you for what you have done so far. And we cannot wait for what you're going to do next. Like David said, you think this was something? Wait, what's going to come next? We're ready, Lord. We are ready. Help us, Father, because we want to fulfill every word concerning us in this age that we're living. And the only way we're going to do that is by surrendering our will, surrendering our purpose, and just be in your purpose, Lord. Thank you again, and may you bless thy people, Father, richly tonight. In Jesus' name we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Thank you. Shape us.